Yeah, and we are thankful to see each one here this afternoon. We've been studying on giving and things of this nature. We're going to continue that. We dealt with last week in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, and it's just natural that we'd continue on into chapter 9 because it's still dealing with some of the same subjects instead of jumping around different places, keep our thoughts together and hopefully give us just a little bit more to chew on. That'll be a blessing. Before we begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 9, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. And Father, we pray that we'd never take for granted the blessings that you've bestowed upon us in life. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that we'd take the goodness that you've shown unto us and that we'd show it unto others, that we could be the light in this world that you would have us to be and in all things that you've called us to be. And Father, we pray that you would even help us in the lesson, that we could present it in a way that be honorable and pleasing to your sight, that it would take fruit within our heart and within our lives, that we could be the people that you've called us to be. And Father, again, that lost souls could be saved, that your people could be drawn close. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, help us to always stop and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, again, they're taking up a collection here to go back to those in Jerusalem. Again, famine had hit, and of course, the early church, they did some things. And man, that's such a blessed thing to even look at. There's so much liberty that God gives the church when you dig in and look at it. And even the early church did something that we might say is pretty strange or weird. I mean, they sold all their possessions and had everything equal there in Jerusalem. But even when we do things from a good heart, sometimes we find out, well, we didn't do that correctly. And before too long, they ran out of money. And I don't know how long that lasted. That probably lasted years and different things. But eventually, you know, you run out of things. That's why later on the Apostle Paul taught them at Thessalonica that every man should eat their own bread and that people should labor for what they eat and different things and then give out of what God has blessed us with. And that was a lesson that they had learned. But yet the church could make those decisions as a body and, you know, enter into covenant together and enter into agreements together and do those things. And that's still allowed today. We even mentioned that when we dealt with the church covenant. That a church has every authority to enter into certain things together and to bind themselves together in certain things that may not be a direct commandment from God, but is permissible in the liberty that He's given us as a church. And certainly those are good and right in its place. It's a good subject to study on. But nevertheless, they're coming and dealing with this giving from the church at Corinth and from Macedonia and other places and going to send this offering unto those in need. At Jerusalem. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 9, he says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." And so even letting it be known in other churches that they had this desire to help those that were in need back in Jerusalem to send a love offering to them and assist them in what they were going through. He said the other churches hearing about your zeal and your desire to do this, well, it got them fired up and got them encouraged. I think that goes with a lot of things in the Lord's work. When you see people get on fire for the Lord in one place, it gets somebody else fired up. You see a family get on fire for God and you say, well, we could do that in our family. Or you see a church on fire for the Lord, and you say, well, we could have that fire here. We could have that zeal. We could have that desire. And same way, whether it's with mission work or other things, it just fires everybody up when you get involved. And when somebody puts their heart to the work of God, and so they had their heart in the work of God, and it struck a zeal within others. And he said, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf." And he's saying, we sent some people ahead to go ahead and collect this offering because You know, we don't want to boast in vain. We don't want to say you had this desire to do something and then you didn't do it. And he says that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He says, we don't want to be ashamed that we boasted on you and then you not follow through with what you said was in your heart. He said, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had no notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty or as a gift, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And now he's looking at this thing again from a spiritual aspect, and he's letting it be known that, you know, when we give little unto the Lord, we can expect little in return. The old saying is, you get out what you put in. And that's in effort, that's in prayer, that's in study, but it is also in giving. If, you know, there's a lot of people that have the attitude, oh man, we'd love to see mission work go on. We'd love to see, you know, the gospel spread. We'd love to see, you know, these people that are down or facing difficult situations. We'd love to see them being taken care of. But then when it comes time to put some energy towards that or put some effort towards that, sometimes that's lacking. And, of course, he's trying to teach us here. You can't say that you want to help these people and then not actually put forth the effort to help them. And whether that's in an offering given in money or whether that's in you know, prayers, whether that's an effort of going and visiting, encouraging people and things of this nature, you get out of it what you put in. And if you give a little effort, well, you get little results. And if you give a good effort and you really put your heart into it, well, there's a great blessing that comes from it. You know, I'll say this. I think it would be crazy if somebody says, well, I'm going to invest $5 into the stock market and I expect to be a millionaire by the end of the year. Well, you would say, well, that's silly. If you're going to expect to invest and see the benefits of it, you've got to put some money into it, don't you? You've got to put some expense into it. Or somebody says, I tell you what, I'd really love to build a house, but I don't want to have to swing a hammer. I don't want to have to put any labor in. Well, they're not going to see a whole lot because they're not putting any effort into it. Same way if you even go down to the school level. You know, there's kids that will say, well, I'd love to make 100 on the test, but I don't want to study for it. Well, that's not how it works, is it? You've got to put some effort in. To see the results and to see the benefit, you got to put some effort into it. And whether that effort is time, whether it's energy, whether it's praying, whatever it might be, there has to be some effort. There's a lot of Christians that say, well, I want to have a great relationship with God. I just don't want to talk to Him. Or I want God to talk to me, but I don't want to read my Bible, which is how God talks to us. You know, well, if you're not putting anything in, you're not going to get anything out. And it even goes to our giving. There's sometimes we say, well, I'd love to be an encouragement to somebody. That takes some effort on our part, doesn't it? Whether it's giving time unto somebody, whether it's taking time to study ourselves to give wise advice, or whether it is that we're sending them the funds that they need, we're sending them the things that they need in a time of need. You know, even sometimes, you know, I know from a human standpoint, if we're not careful, it's easy to get discouraged sometimes, even if you've been at association meetings and you've been with missionaries and different things. Sometimes we say, well, I'd love to see these missionaries do a lot more. And sometimes you say, well, how would you be able to accomplish a whole lot if you got the support they got? And the support, I'm not just talking about financial support, but there's some people, I heard a missionary a couple years ago, and he was a missionary within the state, and he said, nobody comes to visit us. He said, there's people that will even go to other countries, and he said, but they don't come here. That's got to be discouraging to a missionary, isn't it? to say, here I am working and laboring, but nobody seems to care. And then, as we mentioned a few years ago, I remember a man bringing up at an association meeting, they said, is there anybody doing without support? And they talked about a missionary who was doing a good work and really working for the Lord, even though there was not a single church supporting him on the mission field. He was still trying to work and trying to do what God called him to do. But I tell you, it's hard to get everything done when you don't have support. And I'm glad that people asked that question. I'm glad that churches stood up and said, we want to know who needs support. And we want to find out who this is. And we want to get behind them. I'll say this, when a person goes off to battle, it's hard for them to fight a good war if the people at home aren't protecting them, don't have their back. I'll say this, and you can study in history, even during World War II, you know, a big thing going on during World War II, when we sent soldiers overseas, is they had big things for selling bonds, didn't they? Raising money for the troops, getting them the ammunition they need, getting them the tools they need, the gas they need, the diesel they need, that they can get to these places that when they get there, they have the equipment to fight the battle. And they do those huge bond drives for that purpose. Well, I tell you, a lot of times we're asking a lot out of missionaries if we're not careful and asking a lot out of the work of God. But until we put something into it, we're not going to see the benefit of it. And again, that's not just a financial thing. That's a thing of prayer. I tell people all the time, prayer works wonders. But you know, sometimes we'll say, well, we'll pray for you, but if I don't go home and pray, if I don't take the time to spend that energy on their behalf and go to them to the Lord, just saying I'm going to pray for them doesn't do anything, does it? But when you actually get on your knees and talk to God and pour those requests out to God, it makes a difference. And it's an investment into it. And that's why he says here, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. Now that's a great statement there. Notice that God is not putting something on these people. He's saying this is your purpose. This is what you are purposing in your heart to give. We mentioned a few weeks ago about free will offering and about how we give freely and how we give willingly unto the work of God. It's not by constraint. It's not by force. It's not some mandate that's gone out. We do this willingly. We do it of our own free will. And it's important that we purpose in our heart what we're going to give. And again, I think that purpose has to come ahead of time. I think about the Apostle Paul even sending people beforehand. He didn't want to get to the church at Corinth and feel like he had to rile people up to give. That's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to send people ahead of time to say, y'all go ahead and take care of this giving. It'll be taken care of by the time that we get there. And whatever you've purposed in your heart, so let him give. And he says, not grudgingly. Are of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Notice those statements. There's some people, you know, they give and they're like, well, I just feel like I have to give. It's a necessity. And there's kind of a grudge. There's kind of, I wish I could hold on to this for myself type of attitude. But as we've mentioned several times, you get your heart into something. It becomes a cheerful giving because you know what it's going to. And again, it's another reason why we need to know those that labor amongst us. When you know the work that's going on, when you have full confidence in what you're supporting and what you're putting things into, it makes you have a cheerful heart. It makes you rejoice in giving because you say, I know where this is going. I know this is going for the Lord's work. I know this is going to help my neighbor. I know this is going to help the church. I know this is going to help the man of God carry the word of God. I know this is going to help, you know, the needy in this community, in this area, in whatever situation it is, that when our heart is towards the need, it makes all the difference. But if our heart's not towards it, you know, we can say, well, I know God would want you to be clothed and to be filled, as talked about in James chapter 2. But then what did he say? What happens if you don't give those things that are actually needed? Well, it becomes dead, doesn't it? It becomes unprofitable. And I kind of feel for some of our missionaries, especially our foreign missionaries, sometimes, you know, they have things that they actually need. And I'll tell you some things that I've heard and seen before, even in my life. And I know y'all probably seen the same things. It's not just something that I've seen, y'all seen too. You ever see a missionary come up and say, here's what we need, here's what we're dealing with? And somebody start to say, well, they're just begging for money. Well, if they're doing without, how do we know how to help them if they don't tell us what they're dealing with? If they ask for help, well, they're begging for money. If they don't ask for help, then they do without. And people say, well, why isn't work being accomplished? I feel like they're sometimes in kind of a weird place. They're sometimes in a place where they feel like, well, if I say something, then they'll think that we're after money. And if I don't say something, then we don't get the things that we need. And we can't carry on the work. Oh, I feel sorry for them. I'll tell you what, somebody had to tell the church at Corinth that there was a need in Jerusalem. Somebody had to pass word along to them that, listen, these people over here are hurting and they need some help. And I think they knew the heart of the people. They weren't greedy. They weren't covetous. They weren't seeking for something to consume upon their own lust. They were looking for a need. And if we pay attention to the workers of the Lord, I think it is easy for us to tell when people are after filthy lucre or if people are trying to carry on the work of God. If we pay close attention and we know those that labor amongst us, I think it's easy to tell the difference. If we're doing our part and we can pay attention to it. God hasn't called us to be grudging. God hasn't called us to do this for necessity. God says, be a cheerful giver. And when our heart is in it, we're looking at it the right way. I tell you what, as a few years ago when men said, listen, we're praying for a way to carry people to church. There's some people in a different situation. And you hear that and you understand the need and the burden. You say, well, what can we do to get you a vehicle that'll help in this situation? And you know that vehicle's not being used for any personal reason. It's being used for the Lord's work. Sometimes there are people without a building or without power, without things that we might just take for granted. And if they need those things, well, they kind of got to pass it along. We got people hungry. We've got people in destitute situations, maybe in some of the countries. Well, they got to let us know about that. And I'll even say this, if there's a missionary somewhere that's getting no support, it needs to be made known upon his behalf, and maybe he needs to make it known. And if he does, people shouldn't be saying, well, he's fishing for money. Listen, if he's doing without, he needs some help. And again, you pay attention to the work. And I didn't plan to bring this in, but you know, if you go back and study in the book of Romans, there was a time when Paul told the church at Rome that when he came to them, that they were going to take up a collection and help him on his way to Spain. He was telling them, God's given me a burden that I need to go over to Spain, and I don't have the funds to get there by myself. And he says, when I come, y'all are going to assist me. He let it be known. Was he seeking filthy lucre? Or was he seeking help to carry the gospel into the next place that God wanted him to go? And if we pay attention to the individuals, we see their work, we know who they are, we'll know the difference. We'll be able to see it. And we need to. And he said in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your own righteousness. And I mean, when we put our work into it, when we put our heart into it, it not only blesses the other people, it blesses us. It helps in every single way possible when our heart is in the work of God. And God sees it and God blesses it. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And he's saying, when they see your heart, it causes a closer relationship between you and these people. And listen, the Jews and Gentiles had a hard time building their relationship, didn't they? But when you see people love and care about you, love goes a long way, doesn't it? Sometimes people don't care how much you know until they first know how much you care. And when they know that you care about them, it opens to where they're willing to listen to you, where they're willing to build a relationship with you. And that's what he's saying here. You're opening up a door by your giving, by your liberal distribution, as he said. It's helping to draw the church closer one to another. It's amazing, and I wish every one of you could experience this. I really do. And if you get the opportunity, you don't need to miss it. There is something about going and visiting mission work in person. There's just something about it. You can hear about work. You can meet a couple of the ministers and different things, and even maybe meet a couple of the members. You go in person and see something, you're going to be hard-pressed to walk away with not having a greater burden and a zeal for them, especially when you see them walking in the truth. I even made mention this morning after service, there's going to come a time that I'm going to have to make a trip, if the Lord permits, over to Kenya. I'm going to have to make that trip. And I don't look at that as just a have to. It's a want to. I want to really see them. I want to really experience fellowship with them. And no doubt the feelings I have now, if I go over there and find them just walking in truth and you know, just walking in the ways of God and upholding the Word of God, and you see souls saved and you see people hungry for the Word of God, it makes all the difference in the world. I think even Susan and even our family can understand. And I know the kids are often asking us, when are we going back to Canada? When are we going back to Canada? Because once you go and you find out it's truly brothers and sisters in Christ, it's family. It's family by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your bond just grows. And you don't see them as, oh, that's these foreign people over here. They somewhere else. When you go and you're with people, I tell you, your bond for them increases. And can you imagine these people from Macedonia and these people from Achaia coming to Jerusalem? And they come with that love offering and they eat and they fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem. Can you imagine the bonds that grew because of that? They became closer. And it's one of the reasons that we even encourage fellowship. Sometimes when there's revivals going on and different things, and there's people that are true to God, and you go in fellowship with them, it builds a bond. It builds relationships. And it makes it where we pray for one another. We encourage one another. And the more people you have praying together for lost souls and for each other, and that creates something that this world has a hard time breaking apart. And so he is commending this to the church. And he says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Gift he's talking about there isn't the offering being taken, is it? It's a gift of fellowship. It's a gift of brothers and sisters in Christ. It's what binds us together as God's people through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had to show their love and care for one another. And they were carrying this work on. And as we go on, you know, we need to have a care and a burden for lost souls, and not just the care for everyone here. That's important. We know the importance of a local, visible body and the importance of the unity of this body. But there's also an important of the work that goes on with our brothers and sisters in Christ across the world. We think about those that have been affected over the years by flood, by the recent storms. Sometimes we have some hit by hurricanes and different things. And the more we care about each other and we're concerned about each other, when we hear one church is in need, we say, what can we do? When we hear there's a missionary in need and we know that they're faithful to the Lord, what can we do? When we have that heart to give bountifully unto the Lord's work and unto God's people and even unto those that are in need, I tell you, that even has an impact upon lost people, doesn't it? That they see, man, these people love each other. Didn't Jesus say we'd be known in this world by how we love one another, how we care for one another? And it goes in our giving. It goes in all that we do. It goes in our prayer time. It goes in our study time. Listen, we need to give ourselves unto the Lord. And the more you invest in the things of God, the more you're going to reap spiritually. I know that God can bless even in our giving and stretch out a dollar and do so much with it. I know He's able to do all those things too. But I tell you, the real gift is in seeing the benefits spiritually. When you give unto something and you've invested in it, and then you hear about souls being saved, and you hear about people being revived, and you hear about God's work increasing, and you say, man, we had a part in that. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference in our fellowship and our care for one another. The gospel needs to be spread. It needs to be proclaimed. And we need to make sure it's in our heart to give, not just sparingly, but bountifully, to see the grace of God work within us. And again, that giving that I'm talking about is not just a financial giving, but giving of your time. And I'll even say this in closing. If somebody came to me and said, Brother Brandon, we're going to miss next Sunday service or the next two midweek services, maybe a Sunday service along with it. We're going to be gone for a little while. What we're doing is we're going over here and we're going to visit this mission point. I'd say we're going to be praying for you. And when you get back, tell us how it went. I'd encourage it in every way. People say you'd encourage people not to be at their home church if they're going to visit brothers and sisters in Christ. If they're going to visit mission works, if they're going to encourage other brothers. Now, certainly you're not going to be doing that every week. But once a year or twice a year, you're making trips and you're going and investing. And you're going and saying, we want to know the work that's going on. We want to know what's happening. We want to carry this information back to our home church and let them know what's going on. I tell you, they did that, didn't they? What were the people from Macedonia doing at Achaia? What were the people from Achaia who were taking that offering with the people from Macedonia on to Jerusalem? What were they doing? They were building bonds of fellowship, which is still important to this day. And dear friend, we need to do that. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to be invested in one another in the gospel of Christ. We need to do that. And I tell you, when we are, it's going to better us. It's going to better the Lord's work. And I know there's sometimes we might come across some things and we say, well, I don't know if I can support that. Well, when you don't, let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. But I tell you what, there are things out there that are worth supporting. And when we find that and invest in that, we're going to see the benefit of it. We need to encourage God's people. And we need to encourage the work of God. And sometimes even here, we're going to have opportunities and we say, well, here's an opportunity to help out somebody in need. Here's an opportunity to help out a neighbor, a situation that might be coming up. And by doing this, we can show the love of God. When God leads in those things and directs in those things, we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we need to let the work of God have its perfect work. And I promise you, the more we invest in the things of God, the more we're going to see the benefits in our own life. And let us invest, and not just invest little, sparingly. Let us invest bountifully. And again, I'm not talking just about financially speaking. I'm talking about investing in our time, our energy, our prayer, that we show our care one towards another. And I promise you, if we do so, we're going to see the benefits of it. This is the burden that God has given us this evening. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.